Hello, I want to welcome you to the Trucking for Jesus broadcast. My name is Chaplain Blondie Gregory, and I pray today that you'll listen to the broadcast, which the message that God has given me today I know will encourage your heart, and it's talking about preparing for the floodgates of judgment to be poured out, and it's talking about God's grace. So it's a lot of good scripture in this message that I'm giving to you today, so please stay tuned and let God bless you. But first, I want to pray over you. Lord, according to your word in Psalms 84, we pray that you hear our prayer, and we know that you hear those that pray to you and ask. For you said if we would ask, we would receive. If we would seek, we would find. And if we would knock, it would be open to us. And Lord, this day we declare that you are our shield, and we declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And I ask God that today you look on the faces of your anointed. And Lord, we declare today that we would rather be doorkeepers in your house than dwell in the tents of the wicked. And we choose your son Jesus over the world. And Lord, you are our son and our shield, and you give grace and glory. And no good thing will you withhold from them that walk uprightly. Oh Lord, bless all that trust in you and call on the name of Jesus. And Lord, if there be one that is not born again, give them revelation knowledge that the only way into you, God the Father, is through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Help them to understand and to comprehend that they must be born again. Help them to know and understand that we are in the end time and the last days, and they must be ready for the oncoming judgment that's getting ready to take place in our country. God, help us all. God, I pray, help us all. God, I pray again, help us all. Help us to wake up. Help us not to keep shunning and rejecting your love and your protection. God, make it real to us. Somehow, some way, speak to the hearts of your people today through your Holy Spirit. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I want to read out of Titus chapter 2, verse 11. And it's talking about God's grace. Now, God's grace is God's unmerited favor. And the Bible says that God's grace comes by Jesus Christ. And that he gives it to us in fullness, and it is abundance. So God's grace is given to us in fullness and abundance. It will not be held or withheld from us. But this is what grace, God's unmerited favor, God's help to help us live right will do for us. This is what grace will do. Chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. God's grace is ready for all men who that will receive it, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto him a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now that's what grace will do. I want to just go over that again. When you have God's grace in your life, this is what it'll do. It'll teach you to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. It'll help you to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present evil, wicked world that we're living in. And it'll help you to look to the blessed hope of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm astonished at the people today that no longer believe in the coming of Jesus Christ at the rapture of the church. But I want you to stay tuned. I want you to listen. The same thing happened before. And when I think about God's grace, I have to go to the book of Genesis, chapter 6, verse 8, where it says, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, in this time that Noah lived, the Bible says that every imagination was evil continually. And their thoughts were evil continually. And God said he saw their wickedness. And he said, judgment has to come upon this world. I'm going to destroy the world by a flood of judgment. Let me tell you, the same thing is in our country today. Every thought, it seems like even everything that's wrong, the world praises. A ball player can get on his knees and thank Jesus, and they'll almost crucify him on the field. But someone can proclaim that he no longer wants to be a he and wants to be a she, and he's publicized on front covers of magazines, and the president calls him and glorified. And it's just a thing that is amazing to see how much and how evil times have become in our country, and how now that in our streets, in our streets is just like a war zone. Any time that you take out God's word and you take out God's morals, you can't hire enough police to protect you. Because every thought in a man's imagination is evil, and he thinks of evil to do and to be evil toward others. And that's the way it was in the days of Noah. But in the midst of all this evilness, God still had a remnant, and his name was Noah and his family. And I come by to tell you today that in the midst of this generation that we live in, there are still men and women that believe in God, that believe God's word, that hold to the truths of God's word. There are still men and women that haven't bowed a knee or kissed Baal or worshiped the false idols of this world and not caught up in witchcraft. Even the cartoons that we watch our children today, they watch, is full of magic and spells and witchcraft. It's programmed for the coming of the Antichrist. But in this generation that Noah lived, Noah found grace, God's unmerited favor, because he was a preacher of righteousness, the Bible says. And God gave him a precise plan of deliverance. God told him to build an ark. God told him the measurements of the ark. He precisely told him every part, how to build it exactly. God gave him the blueprint. Same thing today. God is precise. He has given us a plan of salvation, a precise way that we could escape the troubles and the tribulation that's in this world today, and the evil and the wickedness, and that is Jesus Christ. He came, he died, he walked on this earth, he's resurrected, he's now seated on the right hand of the Father, and he is coming back for his own. God does have everything under control. Don't think for 1 minute that God's in heaven running back and forth wondering, well, what are we going to do next? God knows what the wicked's going to do before they even know themselves. God knows what's coming, and he has a precise plan for his people, a precise deliverance. Don't neglect it. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It was man's plan. The Bible says in Proverbs, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death, the ways of death. But let me tell you, when you go God's way, you'll be spared, you'll be delivered. Choose God's way. God's time schedule was right, and God had a precise plan, and he gave it to his man, Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house in the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation." And Noah did accordingly. I want you to think about this right now. Noah received a word from God that it was going to come a flood and destroy all mankind. Now, what was so strange about this, it had never rained on the earth before. The earth was watered by heavy dew. So the people had never seen a rain. They'd never seen a flood. So they thought Noah was crazy, and they didn't believe that while he was building this ark, who was going to float in this flood when it had never rained. The same thing is happening today. They've never seen Jesus come back. They've never heard the trumpet sound. They don't believe it, so they don't believe it's true because they've never seen it. That same thing happened in Noah's day. Same thing today. The world in Noah's day watched him build the ark. God was giving them time to repent. God was giving them time to make plans to get in the ark, but they didn't believe it because they'd never seen it. They watched him build it, but they didn't receive it. And let me tell you, the world is watching us build, not with brick and mortar, but building on a pure gospel. I still believe that it takes the blood of Jesus to wash away all sins. I still believe that you have to repent of sins when you are sinned. I still believe in the virgin birth. I still believe in the rapture of the church. I still believe there is a heaven to gain, and I still believe there is a hell to shun. And that is the basic foundation of our doctrine. I believe Jesus is coming back, and I believe we will live with him throughout eternity, those that are born again. I believe that. That's our building, and the world is rejecting it. The world is rejecting it. They'll blame everything on the Christians, and they don't have enough sense to know the only thing that's holding back judgment is God's mercy and God's grace and the praying people of our country, and nor building the ark. That's what held the judgment off, to give the people time to come in. but they rejected it, they wouldn't have anything. But Noah built the ark. God worked, he worked on it. He went by God's plan. He did what God called him to do. He did that, but let me tell you something. One day the clouds got dark. One day the animals, a strange thing, signs began to happen in Noah's day. The clouds got dark. One day a strange thing began to happen. A very strange signs began to show up. Animals not being round up or bought in by man or shipped in or herded in by whatever. They began to show up 2 by 2 and 7 by 7 and go into the ark. It's amazing that the animals had more sense than the people did. They knew the judgment was coming, and when God called them to get in the ark, they went in the ark. Man wouldn't do it, but the animals did. See, they saw Noah doing right in the do-wrong world. And they also saw when God shut that door. And when that door was shut, that was it. There was no more hope for them to get in. And one day the rain came, just like Noah said. He had built the ark. He saw the signs. And let me tell you, listen, people, we're seeing signs today of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're all around. They project in every day, heavier and heavier. It's coming. Signs in the moon, signs in the seasons. It's coming. Jesus is coming. And the judgment of this world is getting ready to roll in, just like the flood during Noah's day. Just like it. But one day God looked at Noah and said, get in the ark. Get in it. It would have been awful for Noah to build the ark. It would have been awful for Noah to go by the precise plan of God. It would have been awful for Noah's the door to be open, and when God told him to get in the ark, he wouldn't get in it. I see a lot of people that are setting up in church, but they're not in church, if you know what I mean. I see a lot of people working for the church, but they're not in the church, if you know what I mean. It's more to it than just doing it because mama made you go or because it's the right thing to do. You got to have Jesus in your heart, which is our ark and covenant of safety. And Noah went in the ark when God told him. And when he did accordingly, when God said get in the ark, him and his family got in the ark and the door was shut. You couldn't be half in and half out. I love reading about Rahab the harlot when the Israelites were going in to take the city of Jericho. They had been in before and they told her, said, now if you stay in the house, in your house with that scarlet thread, when we come in, you'll be spared, but you can't be out of the house. And immediately she hung that scarlet thread out of the window. And when they marched in there, guess where Rahab the harlot was found? Her and her whole household was in the house. They knew better not to come out of the ark. And I'm telling you today, you better get in the ark. You better get in, and you better stay in. And you better not stick your head out in this world. You better stay in the covering of God, because the judgment is getting ready to come down on this earth. The judgment is getting ready to come down on the wicked. And unless you're covered by the blood of Jesus, our ark and our safety is Jesus Christ, the same as Noah had an ark. We have an ark, and we have found grace in the eyes of the Lord, grace to have us enough sense to get in the ark and stay in the ark. I see people today, one day they in church, next day they out. You can't be out in the bars on Saturday night honky-tonking and drinking your brew and sipping and slipping and carrying on and then think you can pop up in the house of God and everything is going to be all right. You can't live a double life. You're either for him or you're against you. The Bible says that Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, refused to be called Pharaoh's son, refused it, and he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He knew what was the right path to go. And let me tell you, people, we need to realize today the same thing. You need to stay in that ark. God is saying to this congregation right now, get in the ark. Get in the ark because things are getting ready to break loose. The flood judgment, the judgment of flood. Flood is getting ready to come across America. Judgment is getting ready to fall in our country. And people are sitting in churches wanting to be entertained and pampered and not being preached against sin and a feel-good gospel. It makes me feel good to know what sin is and stay away from it. It makes me feel good to know I have a home in heaven. I have a Savior that loves me. I have a Savior that will give me grace to live right and do right. God's grace. But let me tell you this, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 37, they asked Jesus, said, Jesus, when is going to be the end time? When is this going to show up? Jesus said this, as in the days of Noah were, so shall it also in the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days of Noah, the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark. I want to repeat that again. Until the day Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. That's how it's going to be when Jesus comes. People are going to be eating and drinking, partying down, living wicked, every imagination, doing every evil thing, thinking everything is all right, doing their own thing, thinking it's just never going to happen. I've heard that message all my life. I don't have to hear it anymore. I'm just going to live the way of the world. I don't have to hear all this Jesus stuff until they entered into the ark, and that was all she wrote. One day the trumpet is going to sound. Listen to me, people. The church is going to be caught away. And if you're not born again, you're going to be here for that judgment time. You're going to be here for that judgment time. I want you to know, 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 I want you to know that Jesus is coming back, and you must be born again. You must know that God loves you. You must know that God wants to save your soul. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for you. He sent Jesus to shed his blood on Calvary for you, that you could be born again. When the day came, Noah and his whole family, only 8 went in the ark. There's a broad road that leads to destruction, but there's a narrow way that leads to the path of righteousness. There's a broad road everybody's going today, the way that seems right to man. We can just do our own thing. It's all right. We're under grace. We can do what we want to. No, I read you before. Grace will keep you from ungodliness. Grace will help you to live right. Grace will keep you sober and righteous, living in the path of righteousness. Grace, God's unmerited favor, will help you to walk the way God wants you to do. And by grace, you enter into that ark and covenant, which is Jesus Christ. Noah entered into the ark, and one day that door was shut, and the rain came, and it rained on this earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And let me tell you, people, the earth was destroyed because of their wickedness. And the same thing is getting ready to happen. When the trumpet sounds, when we're taken out of here, God's wrath and God's judgment is not going to be poured out for 40 days and 40 nights. God's wrath and God's judgment is coming on for 7 years on this earth like never have we seen before. The 21 judgments of Revelation are going to be poured out. The Antichrist is going to come and rule this earth. Satan will literally walk this earth. Do you want to be here for that time while the door is still open? While God is still calling you, if you can't serve God now, what makes you think you can turn to Him when you'll lose your head because of the religious system that's going to flood this land? If you do not serve them and worship their God, they're going to cut your head off if you say you believe in Jesus. It's already starting. Look around. Listen to the news. It's already coming. It's boiling over. The pot of judgment is boiling over in our country. We must be ready. God is saying, get in the ark. Get in the safety because judgment is coming. So what have I got to do to prepare for judgment? Have I got to stock away food and money? And I don't know that that's going to help you. The only thing that you got to do is make sure you're right with Jesus. Make sure you're born again. Even if time tarries, we're not all promised a tomorrow. All of us are going to die if we live on this earth long enough. And the way you've lived is the way you're going to spend eternity. The decisions that you made here are going to determine the eternity that you're going to live in. It's either going to be heaven or it's going to be hell. I was preaching in a service not long ago, and God directed me to give an altar call, a sudden, urgent altar call. And I know there were ones specifically in there that their time was coming on them, and they was not ready to meet God. A lot of you sit in church day after day and Sunday after Sunday, and you hear the word, but you won't get all the way in. You think you can live part the way in the world and part the way in the church, and it won't work. You got to go all the way with God. You got to get in all the way. You got to walk the straight and narrow. You're going to have to choose. It's either the world or it's God. You can't have both. God said in His Word, He sent Jesus to give us life and give it more abundant. People think living a Christian life is hard. It's not. Living a sinful life, the Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. But living for God is the good life and the easy life. You say you have troubles and trials. We all have troubles and trials. But the difference in Christians and the non-believer is we have someone to carry us through it and to help us. Someone to reach down and bring us out of the storm. Someone who said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Someone who loved us enough to die for us. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you know that you're born again? Do you know that if the trumpet should sound at any minute, would you leave out of here or would you be left behind for that great and terrible day of judgment? The Bible says tribulation like never has been or will never be. Nor knew to get in the ark, nor knew to follow God's plan precise. And when the flood of judgment came, Noah and his whole family was spared. What will be said of your family? Fathers, listen up. Your children are going to follow you. Mamas, listen up. You're laying the foundation for your household right now, the way you live. Some of you right now are arguing and fussing and quarreling and carrying on and living evil. And you think you keep doing the same thing over and over and over and think it's going to change. That's insanity to do the same thing over and over and think you're going to get a change. It's not going to happen. You got to live the way God said. If you want peace in your home, you got to bring in the Prince of Peace, which is Jesus. If you want life in your home, you got to bring in life. If you want to know how to live the right way, you got to bring in the way, which is Jesus Christ. He's the way, He's the truth, and He's the life, and He is the light of the world. In this old dark world that we live in, the light of Jesus can come in your life and give you the light and give you joy and show you the right way to live. Jesus wants to bless you today. Jesus wants to reach down where you're at right now and make you to have peace in your heart and soul, that you'll know that you're right with Him, that you know He'll walk with you through this earth, and you don't have to die to wait before you enjoy heaven. I'm enjoying heaven now because I know what's going to make it heaven for me. It's not the streets of gold, not the mansion, and not living in a place where it's no sin or death, but what's going to make it heaven for me is sin, my Jesus, my sweet Jesus. And that's what's making heaven for you. Will you let the one who died for you come in your life? Will you let Him come in your home? Will you let Him direct your path? Will you let Him give you the plan that you can live right? God has a precise plan for your life. He'll tell you where to go and where to stand and what to do. God will make a way where this seemed like there's no way at all. I'm talking to some of you right now. You seem like there's no way out, but He is the way. You seem like there's no hope, but He is hope. He came. He is the only hope. He is, the Bible says, David says, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. If you'll just let Him be your shepherd, He'll give you the things that you need in this life to go on. He'll give you a heart and a mind and a strength. A friend of mine, he would say, I said, what are you getting ready to do? He said, I'm getting ready to do this job. I said, well, what are you waiting on? He said, I'm waiting on courage. I'm working up courage to go do the work. Sometimes we just got to get the courage to go do what we know we have to do. God will give you that courage, whether you're on the battlefield, whether you're in the sickness in the hospital, whether you're in a prison cell, whether you're in a cell in your home. It seems like you're in a prison in your home. You're always bound up with all kind of troubles and trials. I know a man, like Naaman the leper was told by that little girl who, when he had leprosy, she said, I know of a man that if he would pray for you, you'd be all right, speaking of the prophet. And I know a man today, I don't care what kind of disease in your life, whether it's physically, mentally, spiritually, or whatever, financially, I know a man. His name is Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, who died on the cross to save you from your sin, who is now seated on the right hand of the Father to intercede for you, who is waiting to hear you call his name. He wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants to bless you. He wants to abide with you. He wants to be your salvation. He wants to encourage you. And I pray today that you'll take time to make Jesus your Savior. You must be born again. You must be born again. That's a revelation knowledge you have to know. You say, well, I'm a good person. That's good, but it's going to be a lot of good people going to hell. You must be born again. You're not going to get by there by your works or by your standard. It has to be through Jesus Christ. You must receive Jesus as your Savior. How simple salvation is. So simple that people overlook it. Ask Jesus to come in your heart. Forgive you of your sins. Mean it in your heart. And when you pray that prayer, immediately he'll come into your heart and forgive you of your sins and wash away your sins. You must be born again. The flood of judgment is getting ready to come across our country. Don't be caught unaware. Don't say you haven't been warned. It's coming. Be like Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Get in the ark. And our ark today is Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is our salvation. Don't overlook salvation while searching for the worldly pleasure, because worldly pleasure is not going to last. It's going to let you down. It's going to forsake you. But Jesus won't let you down. Try him. You'll never be disappointed. I got saved when I was a young girl. And as an older woman today, I have to say every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Lord, I pray let your sweetness come across the airways right now. Let the people feel you dealing with them and hear your voice saying, get in the ark and the covenant. Now is the time. Now is the time. Deal with hearts in your love and mercy, I pray, in Jesus' name. I invite you to visit my website, truckingforjesus.org. My books are on there, a lot of my sermons about my ministry, and I know you'll be blessed. And if you have a prayer request, write me. I promise to pray for you, and I ask that you pray for me as well, as I keep on keeping on for Jesus. God bless you this day. Have a marvelous day in Jesus, and keep your eyes on him, because Jesus is coming soon. Please be ready. Don't put off salvation. Stop now and receive Jesus before it's too late. God bless you, God bless you, and God bless you.